You see?
Did I see one?
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal on The Fan. So, something really interesting is happening right now to the sports fan here. The psychology of a sports fan is very interesting, very complex, and doesn't always, you know, lead us in the direction we think it's going to lead us. We could be betrayed by our emotions, right? So think about this, guys. Not going into 96, because, you know, they hadn't won since 78, but after the 96 championship for the Yankees, right? Didn't you always think that they were going to win? You know, find a way. Something's going to happen. The Yankees are going to win. And really, the last X amount of years has been the exact opposite. We're kind of conditioned to think that the Yankees are not going to win, because what they've shown us is they haven't really been good enough to win. And, you know, instead of illuminating what they do have that's good, we choose to select the things that we deem fatal. So I'm here to tell everybody, whether you want to buy it or not, the Yankees have a World Series team. The Yankees have a World Series team. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to win the World Series. This is not about some ridiculous hot click prediction. Oh, you know, Tierney says Yanks are going to win, which means nothing. What I'm telling you is the Yankees have everything that they need to win the World Series. It's up to you to either believe it or not. Because the evidence that they put forth so far this year, if you strip away, you know, Altuve with the buzzer cheating and the baby bombers falling apart and all the early injuries to Aaron Judge and all the other things that we've talked about really since, you know, 2017-ish, it doesn't matter right now. But you still choose to talk about that stuff. And it's interesting. That's why I use the term the psychology of a sports fan. It's the exact opposite moving forward, I think, at least going into this year with the Knicks. You know, for years it was, oh my God, what are the Knicks going to do this year to stink? Now it's like, let's go. I think we're already booking the Canyon of Heroes, you know? The Knicks are now suddenly going to win the championship. And they might, but and that's because our minds have been recently permeated with good. And that's what we gravitate to and toward. With the Yankees, think about the conversation is more of a macro thing. Think about the conversations the last, I don't know, certainly last 3 years, going back to the Gallo nonsense and the Hicks stuff. But really, more than that, 5 or 6 years, even slightly more, most of the conversations have been about what they don't have and what bothers us and why they're not built the way they used to. And it's been accurate because they haven't won. So this is now a leap of faith that many of you are not prepared to take, which I get. And I'm not here to convince or cajole or coerce. Well, 3 C's, not bad. What I am here to do is tell you this. Again, the Yankees have a World Series team. Didn't think it last year. Didn't think it the year before when they got mopped by the Astros. I think it this year. I do. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. Sal is off, by the way. What's the over-under on Surfsides? That guy's sucking back in the last few days. Now, I think that when you look at this Yankee team, I think one of the big things, and what I'm not going to do today is get on the air and say, DJ LeMahieu's suddenly back. He's going to hit 330 the rest of the way. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I understand that there are, and that there's a lot of hours to fill on the radio. And, you know, one thing that I've been very married to, whether it's the Cashman stuff, whether it's the, to an extent, to a lesser extent, the Hal stuff, certainly the Gleyber Torres stuff, but like this Yankees team, and DJ LeMahieu in particular, the biggest issue with them is that they were forced to roll out guys who just didn't look as if they had a whole lot of juice left in the tank. They didn't. The Jazz Chisholm addition changes everything. And listen, we knew the first couple of games with four bombs that wasn't necessarily him, though I do think as he's deeper immersed in this culture, surrounded by Judge and Soto, I do think there's another level, I think as many of you believe as well, to his game, okay? But by him being here, what this means now is, you know, like, if DJ LeMahieu, you know, is hitting little humpbacks and, you know, 1-for-19, guess what? DJ LeMahieu doesn't have to play. If Gleyber Torres, you know, now I'll get to him a little bit more later from Friday night. God, although I do give Boone credit for finally pulling him, you know. If Torres is in one of these extended malaises, guess what? Gleyber Torres doesn't have to play. Like, the Yankees were too reliant on guys who just looked tapped out. And now they're not. And think about what were the chief complaints for this team about 3 weeks ago? Really even a little bit less than that. When they were just mired in this funk where it almost seemed as if they could not get out of it. Well, there was a lot to go around. There were two hitters on the team. There was Soto and Judge, and that was it. There weren't enough high leverage arms in the bullpen. How does Leiter look for you? Got to change things a little bit? Yeah. What's your strikeout rate? 40%? Helps. The starting rotations in shambles, and I'm not saying that it's all the way back, but Rodon's been very good lately. You know, you're starting to see flickers from Gerrit Cole. You're seeing flickers again from Luis Gil. So I just look at this team, and if I can at least temporarily, and it's a challenge. I get it. It is hard to do when you rant and rave about something for so long. It's hard to wake up and say, oh, yeah, this team's good. They're good to go. That's ridiculous when you really think about it. But I am, for now, divorcing myself from what I have been married to for a while with this team. And that is an overwhelming abundance of negative. Not athletic enough, not deep enough, not good enough, not real, you know, not small ballish enough to win in October. And suddenly dropping down bunts, double steals, Chisholm, Volpe, you know, like you're starting to see things to me that are real. And it's almost better, even though Soto hit the big home run yesterday. Like, winning games yesterday, I know Toronto's not that good, but winning games yesterday, really, to me, that's what emboldens me to get on the air and tell you today that I think they've got a World Series team. Again, no bold, you know, proclamation. The Yankees will win number 28. I don't know what the hell's going to happen in October. Gerrit Cole can get rocked. Gerrit Cole can be a stud. You know, Aaron Judge could go 1-for-19. Aaron Judge could smash 7 home runs in a series. I don't know. But the team that I'm watching now is good enough to win the World Series. And if you don't buy that, that's fine. I do respect that because, man, for 7 weeks, they were bad. But I got a question for you. Who's better? That's the muddy question. Who's better? Who's better equipped to win? Who is it? Like, I really want to... Oh, the Guardians are playing great baseball. Fantastic. Bring the Guardians on in October and see what happens. Who else? Baltimore? Baltimore's tough. They're good. Are you really worried about Baltimore? Like, worried to the point where you can't compete? Are you worried about the Astros still? Who are you worried about? Yankees for the first time. Huff! Boy, this came to me over the weekend. And it was nice. It was nice to feel this and actually say it and mean it and think it. Yanks can win it. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fan. As I said, Sal is off. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's amazing the mind of the sports fan. It really is. You know, and just to reiterate, after 98, you're like, it doesn't matter who they're playing, where they're playing, up 4 runs late, you know, down five, whatever the situation is, Pettit's on the mound, Del Duque's on the mound, no matter who's pitching. You know, Tino's going to hit a bomb, Birdie's going to do this, O'Neill's going to do this, you know, Jorge's going to do that. You know, they'll find a way. And those Yankee teams weren't perfect despite all the championships, but when you're immersed in success, and again, that's why, again, the psychology of the mind. When you are immersed in success, you kind of push aside the stuff that begins to infiltrate the mind that overtakes with negative. You know, because nobody's perfect. I mean, really, if Jeffrey Mayer doesn't help out the Yankees, guess what? They don't win that year. They don't win that World Series. So even those teams needed luck and had to work around some moments of imperfection. This Yankees team, to me, can win the World Series. And when was the last time I said that? When was the last time I believed that? When was the last time you believed it? And if you still don't believe it, who's better? Who's better? All right, let's get to the calls here. BT and Sal, 888-1019 on the Fan. John in Maspeth. What's going on, John? How are you today?
BT, what's up, man?
Yo.
You know, I'm listening to you. You know, I just called because you're saying pretty much what I was telling a friend of mine this morning is, you know, the Yankees can win it all because it's wide open. You know, there's no clear alpha team, it seems. You got Baltimore who's struggling and young. You got Houston who, you know, isn't as strong as it used to be. Seattle has trouble hitting the ball. Cleveland, I'm never really worried about, you know? So it's like there's no clear-cut number one team in the AL. And, like, you know, the same thing for the National League. You got the Phillies who, you know, they got the best record and all, but they've been struggling. You got the Dodgers. They're dealing with it really seems that they're not what they used to be, especially with the injuries to Betts and Yamamoto.
Yep.
And there's no really, you know, and Braves, you know, that they're not what they were the past few years, especially with the injuries to Strider and Acuna, you know? So it seems like it's pretty much wide open this year, and it's for the taking. And, you know, I'm glad the Yankees are turning the page. And we got to go full steam ahead, man. You know, it's just, you know, I understand we had our moments struggling, but those in the past. We got the Mayhew starting to make good contact.
Yep.
We got, you know,
John, let me put it this way as well. Appreciate the call. Thank you. So, to me, there's two ways to process how why you think you could win. All right. And by the way, I know that not everybody believes that they are a World Series team. I'm talking like in general. Not just the Yankees now. Just a thought. So you think that you can win because of what you have. We have this, we have that, we have this, we have that. We've got all the components. We think we can win, right? Like, at least like the Jets on paper this year. Can the Jets win the Super Bowl on paper? Yeah. Why? Because of what they have on paper. What they possess, okay? That doesn't mean that they will, but they could, all right? And then the other aspect is you think you can win because of what other teams lack. And right now, they're kind of equal to me. As John just chronicled, as I've chronicled as well. Like, who's the team that's definitively better than the Yankees? I don't think there is one. Now, they've got a couple of peers that are in the same conversation. Nobody they can't beat, okay? So you're emboldened by what some of the other teams lack. But I think most importantly, at least for me, I'm not going to talk for you. For me, I believe the Yankees can win because of what they possess. And then you have those two avenues, and when they converge, what you have and what others don't, I mean, that's where it's go time. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Patty's in Woodbridge. What's happening, Pat?
Hey, how you doing, BT? First thing I'd like to say is I think the Yankees definitely can make it all the way. But what's going to hinder them is the same thing that's been hindering them all season. Gleyber Torres is becoming a cancer for this team, and I can't stand watching him play no more.
He is just, you know, listen, what else do I say about this guy, Patrick? Now, let me challenge you on the word that you used. I don't think he's cancerous. It's odd, because for all the gripes and all the criticisms that I've levied towards Gleyber Torres, I don't think he's the kind of player that strips away the morale of the team. I know that it sounds like a contradiction. Well, let's see. He doesn't hustle. You know, he pimps one out of the box. He's aloof on the bases. He's too often intermittently engaged in the field. Like, his focus just is optional. And you'd think that that would just piss everybody off and make him an outcast. I think they really like Gleyber Torres. I do. So I don't think he's cancerous. Now, That doesn't mean that he can't be a reason why they implode. That's different. But no, I would really disagree with that assertion. I think his teammates like him. I don't know how I would react to somebody if they were my, like, Aaron Judge seems to respect him. You know? And if that was me, like, I don't know. I would just think, like, if I had a radio partner, Sal's the exact opposite. He's always locked in and he's passionate, and that's why we work, you know? That's why I love him. But if I worked with a guy who was half-assing it, mailing it in, hey, you're compromising what I put on the table for my family. So we got a problem. We have a big problem. And it doesn't seem like that's the case with Torres. It's odd. I don't think he's a cancer. Now, that doesn't mean he's not a problem. Not a cancer. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Mike is in Hackensack, says, relax. Yankees are not it. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, BT.
Hey.
I'm usually in lockstep with you.
Okay.
If you remember, preseason, I was worried about Cole. And you said, I'm not worried about Cole. Guess what?
What?
I'm worried about Cole. Because in order for us to win the World Series, he's got to be his dominant Cy Young self, and he's not. What are your thoughts on what is going on with Cole? I know he had a slow start, but, man, the rest of the staff stinks. Stroman is terrible. Rodon is picking up a little bit, but what do you think about Cole?
What
are your thoughts about where he's at?
I don't think it's optimal. I'll certainly give you that. I thought he was pretty good yesterday, though. I mean, honestly, I thought he was pretty good. I did. And, you know, Aaron Boone said the same thing, and let's face it, you know, a lot of times when Aaron says that stuff, it's a little, I don't want to say hyperbolic, but he's very slow to criticize. Not that you're going to rip Gerrit Cole anyway. But I agreed with his assessment of how Gerrit Cole pitched. Listen, the measurables are there. The radar gun spitting back favorable stuff. And even, whatever, the RPMs. But, I mean, it matters, you know, for him. It's all pretty much there. So there's nothing analytically that says Gerrit Cole's not right. Is he a tick off? Yeah, I think he's a little rusty. I think he's certainly behind in terms of being completely sharp. And I think that that's manifested itself a few times. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say when he's on ice for 10 days with the body soreness, I'm like, ugh, what's going on? And Stroman's been awful. But the thing about Stroman is that, do you really need him with Clark Schmidt coming back? I mean, I'm not saying that you want Stroman to be batting practice, but see, I don't think that if the Yankees are going to get to and win the World Series, I don't think they're going to win like with the old conventional model or by that model. 3-2, you know, even 4-3. I think the Yankees are going to hit. I think they're going to hit. I think they're better equipped to hit better pitching, which is part of the reason I feel good about this team. I mean, look at Volpe. He's back. Look at Austin Wells. He could hit. You know about Soto and Judge. You know, Dominguez. I mean, he's coming back. So, no, I think that you can, I think that they can get to the, I don't even want to say win because who knows. I think they can get to the World Series if Gerrit Cole is a slightly lesser version of himself. I do. Not to be Bob Gibson or Drysdale or, well, Oral Hershiser from, what was that, 88 with the Dodgers? No. Just be good. Give up, you know, give up three or four runs.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Take the snap. Look at that. Triple
eight over
the
1019
New York sports happens. Talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan 1026 on this Monday. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Hopefully you guys had a good weekend. Man, some of that rain was insane. Oh, my God. Crazy. All right, so the Yankees. Get to those Mets later. But, I mean, you know, it's a team that has been so frustrating for so long. And, yeah, I mean, this, just based on the percentages, there's obviously a really good chance that this season ends in frustration as well. But what's less frustrating, and I think more comforting, more specifically, is that they look now to have answers that they haven't had in the past, okay? And also, I think circumstantially, things lining up a little bit here for the Yankees. So if you think I'm nuts, oh, he's flipping on the Yankees, flip-flopping on the Yanks. He buried them. And he was crushing Cashman the other day when he had him on the show. And now all of a sudden he's getting on the air saying the Yankees can win the World Series. Well, first of all, you know, I'm of the mindset when you do what we do, opinions will change based on the evidence that we're presented with. You know what I mean? So the more I see somebody like Mark Leiter in there in a high leverage situation who can strike people out, you know, that's encouraging. The more that I see, you know, even Chisholm has chilled a little bit here since he first, you know, came here and looked like Babe Ruth, basically. You know, it has now opened up the possibilities for Aaron Boone where, you know, if DJ's cold, he doesn't have to play out of necessity. Now that he's hot, you ride him. So to me, there's more options. I mean, Austin Wells, does he look like a young kid? It's batting fourth, you know? And that's one thing. You know, Sal and I've not gone back and forth because he never said he didn't like Wells, but even when Wells' average was when he was languishing, I'm like, this kid is going to hit. I like Austin Wells. And, you know, at least now he's rewarded that faith. So I look at this team and I say, all right, you know, I like what they're running out there. And I also look around the rest of the league and I say, there's no team that's a juggernaut this year. And even in baseball, when you do have that perceived juggernaut, you know, there's a randomness that still doesn't give you great confidence that you're going to win. You know, like, I'm pretty sure that back in the day, you know, the old Celtic fans with Bird and Laker fans with Magic, they're sitting there saying, all right, we're going to the finals. We're good. No matter what happens, we're good. And, you know, maybe Montana's Niners, even though football is crazy with injuries, you have Jerry Rice and all those guys. Yeah, we're going. We're going to be in the Super Bowl. All right? But, you know, basically, you still know. You don't know. So, again, it's not about being overconfident. It's not about some stupid prediction. It's about watching this team play, the upgrades, the stars they already had, and looking around the rest of the league saying, oh, yeah, Yanks could absolutely get to the World Series. No doubt. I have not said that in a while. I have not felt it in a while. Let's get back to you guys here. Tony's up in the Bronx. Tony, BT, and Sal, what's up, man?
Hey, BT, how's it going?
It's going okay. How you doing today?
Hey. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Listen, I had to weigh in. I'm in the middle of midterms here, but I had to drop in.
What do you got?
Okay, so first off, let me tell you, spot on there with Glaber. I don't like, being the nurse here myself, I don't like to drop the word cancerous or cancer. You know what I would refer to to Glaber as? Being toxic.
By the way, Tony, I don't agree with that. I would use the word enigmatic. I think he's a little bit of an enigma.
Okay.
I don't think he's toxic. I think the guys like him.
BT, let me jump in. I just gotta get my point across, and I'm gonna let you go. I'll listen to you later after all the stuff I gotta do.
I got you, brother. I got you.
Hey,
go for it.
I don't believe at all that this team is a World Series team. BT, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Prove it to me. Okay, you say they are a winning team because of what they possess. I can flip that script on you, BT. I think they're a losing team because of what they possess. They have the same thing that they had before when they were on their winning streak and they started off hot, like they did in 22, as we all know. But then they crumbled, they collapsed before the All-Star break. A couple years ago, you and I were talking when you were with Tiki, and they started crumbling with the Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds right before the All-Star break out here in 22. So I'm telling you right now, this team has not proven a thing to me. Oh, so you throw in Leiter, and then you're going to also throw in Jazz Chisholm. Okay, he got off to a good start. And that's fine and all, and I like it because we need to get some W's on the board and catch the O's and keep up with the O's because they're going to heat up too. We're just lucky that the O's have started crumbling. I do not think this is a World Series team. I do not. Matter of fact, I still stand by my statement that I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. Watch and see. That's what I think.
Tony, hold on, Tony. Not making the playoffs would represent at this point one of the greatest, you know, sporting catastrophes in New York sporting lore. Are you kidding me? With Judge having the season he's having, with Juan Soto having the season he's having, with all the expectations and, you know, top two, top three payroll and everything that's gone on, you know, 67 wins at this point. Now listen, there's no chance that the Yankees don't make the playoffs. Now, you want to push back on them being a World Series team? I get that. But think about what you said. again, it's rooted in the point that I made to start the show. You didn't necessarily give me anything tangible, although maybe if you were on the phone longer, maybe you could have. I'm not saying you couldn't. But you elected not to choose that route first. What you said is, I just don't believe in them. Which goes back to my point about the psychology of how Yankee fans view this team. Most of you. Not all of you. When you complain about... Okay, I'm going to give you a perfect example. A real-life example. That's not serious, all right? So, if you have a spouse or a significant other, no matter how much you love them, no matter how long you've been together, I guarantee, I know I go through it, both ways, me to her and her to me, that there's something that I do, and vice versa, that you want them to work on, alter, change, address, whatever, right? Now, especially if you've been them for a while, like I met my wife in 2008. So whatever that little thing is that she wants me to work on, what if I have been working on it and it's like 3 or 4 months and it's actually working and sticking? She might be, I'll just use ourselves, she might be conditioned to not really acknowledge it because there's basically been 17 years, 16 years of maybe she was, you know what I mean? So it takes a while to change an opinion or perception when you dug in and convicted, as long as we've been convicted about these Yankees not being good enough. Jeez, when are they going to get some lefty bats? Oh, my God. Odor. Let's bring him in. He's going to play. He's going to be one of the lefty thumpers. Let's give Gallo a shot. Why is Hicks still here? Oh, my God. Montas. They traded for him. He's hurt. Oh, my goodness. Who's the catcher? Oh, my God. Gleyber Torres at shortstop. IKF. Josh Donaldson. Like, think about the complaints we've had. And by the way, guys, they have all been justified, right? But all those things I just said, they don't apply anymore. You just got to open up your mind to see what's in front of you. Now, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. I'm doing it because I'm seeing it. Let me get Chris in Belleville. Chris, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, what's up, ET?
Hey.
Hey, man. Listen, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Happy they've been winning last week and a half. But I have to tell you, I think you go sometimes just a little constructive criticism, if I may.
Yeah, you don't need to be. Listen, you don't need to play program director. Just say what you got to say. Let's go. It's all good, Chris.
I feel like you go sometimes a little too extreme from one end to the other.
That's
where
fine.
About a week and a half ago, this team was broken. They need to make several.
Was Jazz Chisholm on the team last year? Was Mark Leiter on the team? Last week, 10 days ago. The answer is no.
Finally, the audio or anybody was screaming for Mark Leiter Jr. before the trade deadline.
It doesn't matter. He's got a 40% strikeout rate. If you know baseball, you know that Mark Leiter is what they needed. If people don't know Mark Leiter's repertoire and the stats that accompany his coming here, that's not my problem.
I just never got as low as you did, and I'm not ready to go as high as you're going. So I think this team has improved. I think they're built now to make a playoff run.
Yeah.
But I have to see a more of a sample size.
Fair enough.
From Chisholm to tell me that was one big move and that's the move that they need to go for. Because I agreed with you that they need to make several big time trades, and yep. I understand, you know, they weren't able to do that based on all the other teams that are fighting for guys. But mm-hmm. I'm just not ready to go as high as you are right now.
Well, hold on now, Chris. I get that, man. Now, how high am I going? I'm saying that they could win the World Series. I'm not saying they're going to.
How do you get any higher? How do you get any higher than that?
Well, I think the next level is they're going to win the World Series, which I'm not saying.
Okay, I'm just surprised of the extreme that you went from a week and a half ago to where you are today. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm happy that they're winning series.
I got you.
Happy that you're seeing some. But I'm just not ready to go World Series yet.
Fair enough, Chris. No, listen, man, I got you. But you make it seem like it's some. Listen, I never said that the Yankees were going to fall apart and not make the playoffs. So now if I said that, and then I said what I'm saying today, that's like, dude, 10 days ago you said they were going to implode to the point where they're going to be done after 162. Every time it came up with Sal, because Sal was kind of going there a little, not fully, a little. He's like, he left the door a little bit jar. I'm like, there's no chance in hell they're not making the playoffs. Like, I just shut that down immediately. So I don't know, does this really represent some radical change? The answer is no. The answer is no. Unfortunately for Met fans, the answer might be yes, though, that their season is petering off. Gonna have to check Hoff's stability a little bit later. He's usually Mr. Optimism. Second behind Loogie, of course. Mr. Positivity.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game Contest. Wendy's is the official hamburger of the suddenly, once again, red-hot Yankees. First one to correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game. And it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. Toronto's weird, huh? I mean, some of the nonsense they pulled over the weekend. I don't mean walking Judge as often as they did necessarily, although the timing was weird. So, whatever. I don't need to reset some of the mechanics of what happened, but just very odd how you walk him with nobody on. And, oh, God, they're backwards. And they chirp. I'm not a big fan of Toronto. You know, what's interesting here is that as they get ready to move on, you know, the Yankees are really set up to, I mean, they're probably going to win 100 games. I mean, I think they're right in that neighborhood. You, provided they handle this next, swath of schedule, you got the Angels, Mets. I mean, you couldn't soften them up a little bit. Three with Texas, then three at the White Sox. And then, you know, even looking toward like the latter stages of August, you have three with the Rockies. The Nationals. I mean, the Yanks are going to bag a lot of wins. Now, what does it guarantee? It assures nothing except that they'll be a playoff team. But, you know, this year, unlike years past, is to me, they look like they also look like a World Series team. And another good example was, you know, nice to see Grisham, get the bunt down. How about the double steal? That was the last time the Yankees could do that, you know? A double steal. Chisholm at third, Volpe at second. And wait till Dominguez is playing. Like, wasn't that one of the main gripes? I know it was for me. Is that I looked around all the baseball last couple of years, and I saw the new trend in athleticism, dynamic athletes, and I'm like, why don't the Yankees have any of those? You got Rizzo, you got LeMahieu, you got Donaldson, you got a bunch of cloggers, right? Now, all of a sudden, you got some guys who can burn. So, you have that, you know, I think that the all-time duo of Soto and Judge speaks for itself. But you guys starting to like Austin Wells yet? I am. I really am. So I think the Yankees are set up to get to the World Series and win it for the first time since 09. And I know that some of you push back on that, which I get. And I'm going to say this. Who can't they beat? That's the question. Who aren't they better than? You know, in years past, you could say, well, Houston, you know, or Boston, or whatever it may have been. Who's the team this year? See, I don't think there is one. So it's confidence in the Yankees the way they suddenly are built now, today, and then the rest of the landscape. 888-808-1019. All right, let me get Eric in Rivervale, BT and Sal. What's going on, Eric? How you doing?
BT, how are you, brother?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, man. I what a day for Sal to be out. Because I got to say, I mean, how did he put it? Was it last week? Week before last, it was that the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them.
Oh, that's what I believe that was the exact quote that was attributed to my fine partner. The Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. Yes, he did say that.
It's a long, long baseball season, and my how the tables have turned. So I think I couldn't agree with you more. I'm really surprised by some of these Yankee fans thinking that this team, isn't a World Series team. I think the way they're built, does it have flaws? I mean, of course it does. What team doesn't? And I think that's kind of the point that you're making, is that there really isn't another team that is built better necessarily than the Yankees, or is, ultimately better than the Yankees. And I think what you're seeing now is a team that's getting healthier. I mean, Cole didn't have his, Cy Young stuff yesterday, but he's being built up, right? I mean, he's not going to be the same pitcher as he was last year, obviously, because of the injury. So it's going to take time. And with him building up, like, he'll be built up at the right time. Like, he's not going to win the Cy Young this year, but who cares, mm-hmm. right? If he's ready for September, October, that's the point, right? Yeah. And if you get Rodon pitching the way that he's been pitching of late, that's what matters. Like, Stroman, okay, like, we could, scream and yell about Stroman, but, like, we don't need Stroman. To your point, Schmidt's coming back. Stroman will be a nice, fifth/sixth starter should you need him. But, mm-hmm. Come October, Stroman's in the bullpen. Like, I mean, let's be honest.
So, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, bullpen. Yep.
Yeah, like, same with Nestor, right? I mean, I think that's the trajectory of the team. Like, it's the starting pitching to me is obviously going to be Cole. It's going to be Heal. It's going to be Rodon. Those are the guys. The question on Heal is innings limit. You know, what do they do there? I'm not quite sure. But the bats in this lineup, the way this lineup looks right now, and the other thing, on DJ LeMahieu, man, I can't tell you. Like, I was the first one last week being like, dude, we got to DFA this guy. Like, it is brutal.
Yep.
I got to tell you, man, watching him this past, like, 4 or 5 days, I feel so good for the guy, right? I really do. Like, it was just so fun to see him actually turn it around. And it actually helps the Yankees win baseball games. Like, he can still help. So, that's amazing. The one question I had for you with Judge, and I agree, the way that Toronto handled him and when they walked him, that was a little odd to me, but be that as it may, they did walk him a lot. And, I know this is probably sacrilege, but I don't know what you think of it is, did they move Soto? Right? Did they put Soto behind Judge?
Yeah, I'm not messing with that now, Eric. I'm just not. I'm not messing with that. I hear you. I mean, it's not a bad thought. All right, you don't want to pitch to Judge? Well, put Soto behind him. Now you got to pitch to Judge. Now you can't leave. Now you've got to pitch to Judge. But it's just no way. I'm not messing with it. I'm just not. I'm happy you bring up DJ. I admit, I don't know that it really came across this way on the radio, but I actually felt bad having to be so raw about DJ LeMahieu. And I'm not saying that he's all the way back. I'm not saying that. Although he has proven to be much more viable lately than I even thought he could get back to. His body looked shot. It was painful to watch him run. Everything was a little tapper or a little humpback, liner, no solid contact. I thought he was done. When you get frustrated and you watch that and you're critical of the GM for maybe not having another player or two where DJ didn't have to play, it probably came across, I don't think I was alone in this, it probably came across as, personal. Like, I meant what I said about DJ, in terms of how I just thought he was absolutely shot. But I am so happy, even if it's just a 10-day flicker, that he's having a little fun, that he got some water dumped on him, that he feels like a part of the team. Because, we trivialize some really hard things on the radio. I mean, we make it seem like we could do everything. That's not our intention. But think about the GMs that we bury, the players that we bury, almost like, well, we could do a better job. I will say that I do think that there's been a few GMs in town that I could have done a better job than. Players, no, because that's physical limitations. But the other stuff, yeah, I don't think I'm alone with that. But we do make it seem to be easier than it is. And when we do that, it comes across as really callous. And I hate that because, man, DJ LeMahieu was an amazing hitter. Amazing. And we just oversimplify, like, all right, he's done, get rid of him. And, like, at its core, it's true, at least in the moment. But it's so unintentionally disrespectful. I felt so good for him. That's what I'm trying to say. Felt so happy for him. I really did. Let me get Scotty on the Jersey Shore. Scott, BT, and Sal, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, BT? First, I think you're spot on with the Yankees as far as being a good team. Because if you go to Baltimore or Boston, not Boston, or Philly, their fans are saying the same thing, that their teams are flawed. I think no team is great this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been conditioned now. But the thing I want to talk to you about is this Gleyber Torres thing. I'm not a big Boone guy, first off, but I think he's as much to blame as Torres being the way he is as Torres. Because he has enabled this man to do this. All of a sudden now, when he's 7 weeks out, about to be out of New York. We all know he's gone.
Yep.
Now he decides to dig in. Now is the time he's going to – he could have saved this kid's career possibly by being a man and making him do the right thing. But instead, we always say everything's great, everything's great. Now, 7 weeks left in his Yankee career, now he makes the stand.
Yeah.
I think that's just poor leadership. And he worries – that's why I worry about the Yankees. It's not necessarily even just the players. Because I don't have any faith in Boone because I think he's terrible.
I don't think Boone's terrible. I think that that's unfair, though I do think your first point is spot on. You know, he is – thanks for the call, Scott. Aaron Boone, and I think I'm probably – I mean, Hoff, you've heard all the shows, even going back to me and Teak. I mean, I think I'm probably among the most supportive of Boone, right?
Yeah, I think you've been fine with Boone. I don't think you've really been anything too negative at all.
No, no. I think I've been fair. I think I've probably been more supportive than most. Now, Cashman's been more the target for me, I think, as many of you as you know. But definitely culpable. I mean, absolutely culpable for creating this culture of acceptance when it comes to Gleyber Torres. You know, even Cashman told – we had him on the other day, a few days ago. If you guys missed it, it's out there. Just go, it was good. Cashman was good with me and Sal. And we dug in on Torres. And he's like – you know, and Cashman was defending him. And I'm like, how? He doesn't run all the time. He's half asleep on the bases. I know he's immensely talented, but to me, the Yankees culture, they failed him. They failed him, and it's too late. It's like if you're loose with your parenting, I like to use examples that apply to us since we're not athletes, right, or coaches. So you let your kid do whatever they want. Good luck when they go to college. Good luck when they get to high school. Good luck when they get on Snapchat and all the other stupid things they get on today's society, you know? Good luck having them show restraint and measure and respect when it's time to do that. You know what I mean? If you let them do whatever the hell they want for the time they're 4 or 5, you know? It's tricky. And the Yankees have just enabled him. There were never any repercussions. I would have pulled him from the field years ago. Years ago. And I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't have played him the next day. I wouldn't have. Yeah, that is definitely one big X in the Boone column, a big one. Because there was a point where Gleyber Torres was young and ascending and impressionable, and if they would have drilled him just a little differently, I mean, this might be a bit hyperbolic, but given the position that he plays, I mean, it's not inconceivable that his number would have been retired, honestly. I mean, he hit 39 home runs 1 year. I know the ball was juiced. I got it. I know that 19 were against Baltimore. I know. Before they moved the fences back. I know. He was a masher as a second baseman. And they just let him mess around, goof around, not locked in, no penalty. That's on the Yankees. Absolutely.
Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It's time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game Contest. Wendy's is the official hamburger of the suddenly, once again, red-hot Yankees. First one to correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game. And it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. Toronto's weird, huh? I mean, some of the nonsense they pulled over the weekend. I don't mean walking Judge as often as they did necessarily, although the timing was weird. So, whatever. I don't need to reset some of the mechanics of what happened, but just very odd how you walk him with nobody on. And, oh, God, they're backwards. And they chirp. I'm not a big fan of Toronto. You know, what's interesting here is that as they get ready to move on, you know, the Yankees are really set up to, I mean, they're probably going to win 100 games. I mean, I think they're right in that neighborhood. You, provided they handle this next, you know, swath of schedule, you got the Angels, Mets, I mean, you couldn't soften them up a little bit. Three with Texas, then three at the White Sox. And then, you know, even looking toward like the latter stages of August, you have three with the Rockies. The Nationals. I mean, the Yanks are going to bag a lot of wins. Now, what does it guarantee? It assures nothing except that they'll be a playoff team. But you know, this year, unlike years past, is to me, they look like a, like they also look like a World Series team. And I thought a good example was, you know, nice to see Grisham, excuse me, get the bunt down. How about the double steal? That was the last time the Yankees could do that, you know? A double steal. Chisholm at third, Volpe at second. And wait till Dominguez is playing. Like, wasn't that one of the main gripes? I know it was for me. Is that I looked around all the baseball last couple of years, and I saw the new trend in athleticism, dynamic athletes, and I'm like, why don't the Yankees have any of those? You got Rizzo, you got LeMahieu, you got Donaldson, you got a bunch of cloggers, right? Now, all of a sudden, you got some guys who can burn. So you have that, you know. I think that the all-time duo of Soto and Judge speaks for itself. But you guys starting to like Austin Wells yet? I am. I really am. So I think the Yankees are set up to get to the World Series and win it for the first time since 09. And I know that some of you push back on that, which I get. And I'm going to say this. Who can't they beat? That's the question. Who aren't they better than? You know, in years past, you could say, well, Houston, you know, or Boston, or whatever it may have been. Who's the team this year? See, I don't think there is one. So it's confidence in the Yankees the way they suddenly are built now, today, and then the rest of the landscape. 888-808-1019. All right, let me get Eric in Rivervale. BT and Sal, what's going on, Eric? How you doing?
BT, how are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm good. What's up?
Oh man, I what a day for Sal to be out. Because I gotta say, I mean, how did he put it? Was it last week? Week before last? It was that the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them.
Oh, that's what I believe that was the exact quote that was attributed to my fine partner. The Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. Yes, he did say that.
It's a long baseball season, and my how the tables have turned. So I think. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm really surprised by some of these Yankee fans thinking that this team, you know, isn't a World Series team. I think the way they're built, you know, yeah, does it have flaws? I mean, of course it does. What team doesn't? And I think that's kind of the point that you're making, is that there really isn't another team that is built better necessarily than the Yankees, or is, you know, ultimately better than the Yankees. And I think what you're seeing now is a team that's getting healthier. I mean, yeah, okay, Cole didn't have his, you know, Cy Young, you know, stuff yesterday, but he's being built up, right? I mean, he's not going to be the same pitcher as he was last year, obviously, because of the injury. So it's going to take time. And with him building up, like, he'll be built up at the right time. Like, he's not going to win the Cy Young this year, but who cares, right? If he's ready for September, October, that's the point, right? Yeah. And if you get Rodon pitching the way that he's been pitching of late, that's what matters. Like, Stroman, okay, like, we could, you know, scream and yell about Stroman, but like, we don't need Stroman. To your point, Schmidt's coming back. Stroman will be a nice, you know, fifth/sixth starter should you need him. But like, come October, Stroman's in the bullpen. Like, I mean, let's be honest.
So, yeah, I would think so. Like, yeah, bullpen. Yep.
Yeah, like same with Nestor, right? I mean, I think that's the trajectory of the team. Like, it's the starting pitching to me is obviously going to be Cole, it's going to be Heal, it's going to be Rodon. Those are the guys. The question on Heal is innings limit. You know, what do they do there? I'm not quite sure, but the bats in this lineup, the way this lineup looks right now, and the other thing, on DJ LeMahieu, man, I can't tell you. Like, I was the first one last week being like, dude, we got to DFA this guy. Like, it is brutal.
Yep.
I got to tell you, man, watching him this past, like, 4 or 5 days, I feel so good for the guy, right? I really do. Like, it was just so fun to see him actually turn it around, and it actually helps the Yankees win baseball games. Like, he can still help. So, that's amazing. The one question I had for you, with Judge, and yeah, I agree, the way that Toronto handled him and when they walked him was a little odd to me, but be that as it may, they did walk him a lot. And, you know, I know this is probably sacrilege, but I don't know what you think of it. Is, did they move Soto? Right? Did they put Soto behind Judge?
Yeah, I'm not messing with that now, Eric. I'm just not. I'm not messing with that. I hear you. I mean, it's not a bad thought. All right, you don't want to pitch the Judge? Well, put Soto behind him. Now you got to pitch the Judge. Now you can't leave. Now you got to pitch the Judge. But it's just no way. I'm not messing with it. I'm just not. You know, I'm happy you bring up DJ. I admit, I don't know that it really came across this way on the radio, but I actually felt bad having to be so raw about DJ LeMahieu. And I'm not saying that he's all the way back. I'm not saying that. Although he has proven to be much more viable lately than I even thought he could get back to. His body looks shot. it was painful to watch him run. You know, everything was a little tapper or a little humpback, you know, liner, no solid contact. I thought he was done. You know, and you know, when you get frustrated and you watch that and you're critical of the GM for maybe not having another player or two where DJ didn't have to play, it probably came across, and I don't think I was alone in this, it probably came across as, you know, like personal. Like I meant what I said about DJ, you know, in terms of how I just thought he was absolutely shot. But I am so happy, even if it's just a 10-day flicker, that he's having a little fun, that he got some water dumped on him, that he feels like a part of the team. Because, you know, we trivialize some really hard things on the radio. I mean, we make it seem like we could do everything. That's not our intention. But think about the GMs that we bury, the players that we bury, almost like, well, we could do a better job. I will say that I do think that there's been a few GMs in town that I could have done a better job than. Players, no, because that's physical limitations. But the other stuff, yeah, I don't think I'm alone with that. But we do make it seem to be easier than it is. And when we do that, it comes across as really callous. And I hate that because, man, DJ LeMahieu was an amazing hitter. Amazing. And we just oversimplify, like, all right, he's done, get rid of him. And, like, at its core, it's true, you know, at least in the moment. But it's so unintentionally disrespectful. I felt so good for him. That's what I'm trying to say. Felt so happy for him. I really did. Let me get Scotty on the Jersey Shore. Scott, BT, and Sal, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, BT? First, I think you're spot on with the Yankees as far as being a good team. Because if you go to Baltimore or Boston, not Boston, or Philly, yep, their fans are saying the same thing, that their teams are flawed. I think no team is great this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been conditioned now. But the thing I want to talk to you about is this Gleyber Torres thing. I'm not a big Boone guy, first off, but I think he's as much to blame as Torres being the way he is as Torres. Because he has enabled this man to do this. All of a sudden now, when he's 7 weeks out, about to be out of New York, we all know he's gone.
Yep.
Now he decides to dig in. Now is the time he could have saved this kid's career possibly by being a man and making him do the right thing. But instead, we always say everything's great, everything's great. Now, 7 weeks left in his Yankee career, now he makes the stand.
Yeah.
I think that's just poor leadership. And that's why I worry about the Yankees. It's not necessarily even just the players, because I don't have any faith in Boone, because I think he's terrible.
I don't think Boone's terrible. I think that's unfair, though I do think your first point is spot on. You know, he is, thanks for the call, Scott. Aaron Boone, and I think I'm probably, I mean, Hoff, you've heard all the shows, even going back to me and Teak. I mean, I think I'm probably among the most supportive of Boone, right?
Yeah, I think you've been fine with Boone. I don't think you've been anything too negative at all.
No. I think I've been fair. I think I've probably been more supportive than most. Now, Cashman's been more the target for me, I think, as many of you as you know. But definitely culpable. I mean, absolutely culpable for creating this culture of acceptance when it comes to Gleyber Torres. You know, even Cashman we had him on the other day. A few days ago, if you guys missed it, it's out there. Just go. It was good. Cashman was good with me and Sal. And we dug in on Torres. And he's like, well, and Cashman was defending him. And I'm like, how? He doesn't run all the time. He's half asleep on the bases. I know he's immensely talented. But to me, the Yankees culture, they failed him. They failed him. And it's too late. It's like if you're loose with your parenting, I like to use examples that apply to us since we're not athletes, right, or coaches. So you let your kid do whatever they want. Good luck when they go to college. Good luck when they get to high school. Good luck when they get on Snapchat and all the other stupid things they get on today's society, you know? Good luck having them show restraint and measure and respect when it's time to do that. You know what I mean? If you let them do whatever the hell they want for the time they're 4 or 5. You know, it's tricky. And the Yankees have just enabled him. There were never any repercussions. I would have pulled him from the field years ago. Years ago. And I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't have played him the next day. I wouldn't have. Yeah, that is definitely one big X in the Boone column. A big one. Because there was a point where Gleyber Torres was young and ascending and impressionable, and if they would have drilled him just a little differently, I mean, this might be a bit hyperbolic, but given the position that he plays, I mean, it's not inconceivable that his number would have been retired. Honestly. I mean, he hit 39 home runs one year. I know the ball was juiced. I got it. I know that 19 were against Baltimore. I know. Before they moved the fences back. I know. But he was a masher as a second baseman. And they just let him mess around, goof around, not locked in, no penalty. That's on the Yankees. Absolutely.